Well, so much for the meaning of specific details of the parable. It's time we passed on now to a few general considerations, also dealt more explicitly with the title of the lecture, and then we have to conclude. Now, the general considerations relate to four topics, and these are: 1. Whether the parable teaches escapism. 2. Whether it teaches universalism. 3. Whether sectarianism is necessary. And 4. The situation today. So first of all, does the parable of the burning house teach escapism? Well, at first sight it does, because the elder urges the children to escape from the burning house. That's his sole concern, that they should escape from the burning house. So the meaning is quite clear. Now, some people would say that this sort of approach, this idea of escape, is typical of religion in general. They would say that religion urges us to escape from the world. Not only that, but to run away from the problems of the world, even from our own problems. And some again would say that this criticism applies with greater justice to the Eastern religions, especially to Buddhism. They're very fond of pointing out how the Buddha left his own wife and child, how he escaped, as it were, from his responsibilities and obligations. And they say that the criticism doesn't apply to Christianity. They say, some of these people, that Christianity, unlike Buddhism, remains in the world and struggles with the world, tries to transform it, tries to make it into a better place, tries to help the sick and care for the needy. But they say, what do Buddhists do? Buddhists don't do anything at all. They just sit and meditate, ignoring all the sins and sufferings of the world, and that is pure escapism. This is a common criticism that one can still find made in quite respectable quarters. So this is the indictment. But one can say at once that there's nothing wrong in escaping. The whole sort of criticism proceeds on the assumption that to escape is somehow morally wrong. But suppose, let us say, we're trapped quite literally in a burning house. Suppose the fire brigade arrives. And suppose one allows oneself to be rescued, either by jumping out of the window into a net or being carried down the fire escape by some stalwart fireman. And suppose, afterwards, one's friends say, you shouldn't have done that. That's sheer escapism. Well, that would be absolutely ridiculous. So Buddhism simply says, or rather it simply sees, that there's a certain objective situation of pain and suffering, or if you like, of limitation, of imperfection, of frustration, and it just says, get out of it, escape from it. So this isn't escapism, this is simply acting realistically, just like getting out of that burning building. At the same time, one must confess that escape is not a very good word. Nowadays it has a bad reputation, a rather unpleasant connotation, so perhaps it would be better to speak of transcending. So the burning house in the parable represents not just suffering in the literal sense. We may say it represents the limitations of human existence, the conditions under which we have to live and function. We may say, therefore, that it represents, the burning house in the parable represents the human predicament, the predicament in which we find ourselves as human beings. And the title of the lecture, therefore, speaks of transcending the human predicament. And this is really what the parable is all about. It shows us how we can escape, or better, transcend, or better still, shows us how we can grow, how we can develop, grow from a lower, less satisfactory state or existence, symbolized by the burning house, to a higher, more satisfactory state of existence, symbolized by being outside the burning house. The sutra shows us, or the parable shows us, we may say, how by following one or another special cultural or spiritual interest, we can come eventually into the mainstream of the higher evolution of man. Now, this is not to say that there's no such thing at all as escapism, but we must understand what it really is, what it really consists in. We may say that this process of growth and development and evolution of which we've spoken requires effort, requires exertion, requires determination, but not everybody is prepared to make that sort of effort. So we may say that if there is such a thing as escapism, then escapism means trying to get away from situations in which one is required to make an effort to grow. To get away from that situation to one where one is not required to make an effort to grow. So escapism, we can say, is regression. It's returning to an earlier, easier stage of one's existence and development. Escapism, therefore, is stagnation. And it's true that sometimes religion is escapism, and people's religious life is escapism. This, unfortunately, is sometimes true. But it's less true now, we may say, than formerly, because religion itself is much less widespread than formerly. And we can therefore say that nowadays it's the non-religious activities that provide, usually, the means of our escapism. We can say that for many, many people, politics are escapism. Social work is escapism. Even personal relationships are escapism. Watching television is escapism. Reading is escapism. Sex is escapism. Even the arts may be escapism. And work, for many people, can be escapism. And we can summarize all this by saying that a life, any kind of life, any form of life, that is making no effort, no positive, deliberate effort to evolve, is escapism. So one can even say that escapism is the rule rather than the exception. But religion does not teach escapism. And Buddhism certainly does not teach escapism, nor the parable of the burning house. Religion in general, Buddhism especially, and certainly the parable of the burning house, teach growth, development, evolution.